Gudula Bauer has arrived in the studio. Hi, Gudula. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You've been getting a fair amount of exposure recently. You were at Yes Women Can doing presentations there.
Yes.
Back on April 19th.
Yep.
That was really short and sweet, I think. You had 20 minutes, I think, to get your message across.
20 minutes and not enough shares. People were lining up outside to hear in.
I'm not surprised.
No.
And then again, recently at Arbor Gallery, you were the last speaker in the speaker series the week before.
Yes.
Yes Women Can. So, yeah, you're really doing your bit to get the word out about healthy living and healthy eating. Which healthy eating in particular, I guess, is your specialty.
Yes, I'm very much so concerned about the type of food people consume and then assume that that doesn't make them unhealthy. So, yes, so for some reason it is my desire to share what I have learned for myself and then, and well, through the market, through selling the products on the market, the raw food products
yes.
on the market.
Well, that's another thing I should have mentioned is that you're a regular vendor at the Bankley Hill Farmers Market every Saturday morning. You're there faithfully with your wonderful selection of all sorts of activated ingredients. We're going to get into what that means in a minute. But yeah, you're really making a big effort to get out in the community and to educate and to make people aware. Well, as you put it, that maybe they're not getting as much nutrition as they think out of their traditional food, but you're going way beyond that. You're proactively sharing information on how people can actually access nutritionally dense foods in fairly easy, accessible ways.
Yes. If you, like through my research and through my own learning, I came to understand that the very traditional ways of preparing foods would actually hinder the absorption of certain nutrients and also that that's when I'm talking about nuts and seeds, that there's actually a huge, much bigger potential in those nuts and seeds when we would start soaking them
mm-hmm.
and then, well, either dehydrate them or put them back in the fridge and eat them like that. But it's all about those enzymes.
Yes.
And this is all about enzyme, what I'm talking about.
But such a simple step to just let soak them overnight in some water is going to make a difference in the nutritional value of those seeds and nuts. How can that be?
Well, if you imagine that if it's like every seed lies dormant throughout the winter, and when in the spring the moisture touches the seed, it starts to germinate. So in the winter, in its dormant state, there is something that's called an enzyme inhibitor that is inhibiting this germination process. So all those nutrients, the minerals, vitamins, they're all kind of locked in a static state. And the moment water is added to the mixture, this enzyme inhibitor is released. And that means that all the nutrients are being activated and pushed to the surface. It's more like you have to imagine this is a seed going against gravity starting to grow, and this type of force we can harness in that moment.
Yes.
And so we not just have, let's say, if in the seed we have 100% of nutrients in there, you start soaking it and eating it, you have at least 200%. So without spending a cent, you actually get much more out of the seeds and nuts.
Yes.
But at the same time, the digestion process is much easier. A soaked nut is easier to digest than it is like a regular dormant nut, I should say.
Yes. So two important things that I hear you saying there. One is that it's easier to digest, and the other one is that the nutrients are more available to us if it's soaked. And you said 200%, that big a difference.
Yeah, or even more. So I think I'm lowballing it, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So people who traditionally like to grab some sunflower seeds or some pumpkin seeds and munch on them for a snack, if they just grab the traditional seeds that haven't been soaked and just maybe have been salted and maybe lightly roasted or something, are getting just a small fraction of the potential nutrients from that product.
Not only that, but the moment you have something roasted, those enzymes, they have a heat sensitivity. Anything above 118 Fahrenheit, they would die. So anything you have roasted, well, everything is kind of from an enzyme perspective dead. And you need the enzymes in your body to help with the digestion process. Like we differentiate between food enzymes, digestive enzymes, and metabolic enzymes. The food enzymes, like the word says, it comes from our food, and they will help the moment we start putting it in our mouth with the amount of digestive enzymes being made available by our body. So we are saving, kind of.
Okay.
So in that regard, we want those enzymes.
Yes.
It's also when we age, it automatically, we have less enzymes available to us.
Okay.
This enzyme potential is actually limited.
Okay.
So it is really important to have as many of those enzymes alive than possible. So that's hence the whole being activated,
yes,
being alive.
Yes. I saw another product that I think I picked up at a health food store in Vancouver when I was visiting my family out there during the winter. And they use the phrase awakened as opposed to activated.
Yes, nice. That's really nice.
Kind
yes.
of poetic, eh? But yes. it's the same idea, I guess, that you're yeah. talking about. But this is like really, really valuable information that's, again, accessible, simple, and I guess most people don't know about it. The other thing, I've actually taken a workshop with you, with some friends. We did on fermentation.
Yes.
And I've become a big fan of fermenting my own sauerkraut at home and my own vegetables. And I find that it does wonders for my gut and my microbiome. And so tell us a little bit about the difference. Again, it's the same kind of idea, I guess, making the nutrients more available to us through the process of fermentation.
Yes, what fermentation entails is that we are using, let's say, in the case of sauerkraut, we're using the sauerkraut and we use salt, like not your regular table salt.
No.
Okay?
No.
We are using Celtic sea salt or we are using Himalayan salt. What we do is we would shred the cabbage up and massage the salt into the cabbage, and then this the process will start building a brine, like a liquid that collects on the bottom. Then we stuff it all in the jar and keep the brine on top and close it and start to ferment. The fermenting process is approximately 10 days for the sauerkraut. But what happens during that process is, so this is a lacto-fermentation process. What happens actually is that you have enzymes there, and you're all at the same time you are creating a probiotic bacteria, which comes through the lactic fermentation process.
Why do they call it lactic fermentation?
Because it's the lactobacteria that is that's a good bacteria we are after, and this lactobacteria sticks on any vegetable, any fruit.
It's natural occurring on the cabbage, so you don't have to add any special ingredient or anything.
No, you don't really have to, yeah. though some people do, mm-hmm. but that's a different argument then, but you don't have to. This process is actually what we would term a wild fermentation, because we mm-hmm. didn't add any yeah. extra probiotic pills to it or
yes,
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. So just the regular cabbage that you chop up or shred and stuff it in a jar with salt and really pound it down to yeah. get started macerating will ferment in its own juices.
Yes, that's exactly it. And the benefits is that your the probiotic bacteria and the enzymes you are getting, and both of them are there to create a healthy gut environment.
Mm-hmm.
We are not talking about pH or anything. We are just talking about the amount of bacteria you have, because we are more bacteria than anything else.
Yeah, right? I think that's such an interesting statistic.
Yes.
When you start counting your cells and your molecules, we're outnumbered about 100-1 by the bacteria that live.
Yes.
In, sort of, we're the hosts of, but you know, we're the minority.
Yes, that's it. And the moment we have a healthy gut, you have a healthy gut, you have a healthy brain. That is, I have to point that out.
There's a neurological connection
yes.
between the gut and the brain. That's so fascinating.
Because our, like, the moment we have a healthy gut, we start to absorb better the nutrients, and then those nutrients can feed the rest better.
Mm-hmm.
So once that cycle is working properly, you're going to become more alert. You're going to become more activated in your life.
Mm-hmm. Clearer thinking.
Yes.
And probably more positive thinking too, I think.
Yes, much more.
And it's quite amazing that there's that connection. I mean, there's research happening almost, it feels like on a weekly basis we're hearing, even in the mass media and you know, regular newscasts, talking about these discoveries of the importance of the microbiome, which is our the flora in our gut,
yeah.
being responsible for up to like 80% of our immune system.
Yes.
It's like, that's really important. I think traditionally, you know, we always thought of, you know, our guts and our intestines as sort of the sewage system of
yes.
the body, you know, that had no status, right?
Yes.
Or very, very low status.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, the status is raising up,
yes.
you know, more and more and more.
And you should hear how excited people all of a sudden are and say, I can use the bathroom regularly. You know, it's
yeah.
like, wasn't that normal?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's like such a surprise for them. And the amount of manure that is coming out of the people, they're so surprised. All of a sudden, the body is able to release all those compacted.
And it's kind of a return to what should be a normal process.
Yeah.
But because of the modern day diet and I guess stressful living and all of those other elements, and also eating nutritionally depleted foods, our whole system is really suffering. So you're trying to you're doing work to reclaim, I guess.
Yes.
What happened more or less naturally in the body in years past?
In a way, it is. And there's the other factor you just mentioned is that the stress is in our life. Like the moment we are stressed, we are in a fight and flight situation. Mm. And if you are in that state, you do not absorb nutrients. So, well, yes, you can eat as good as you want, and but if you're stressed and don't take the time to eat mindful, to relax, stop the TV, stop the electronics and whatever, just enjoy the food you eat. And enjoy the preparation, enjoy it with your family. So there's more to nutrition than just putting food in your mouth.
It's
like in one of the schools I got trained, we differentiate between primary and secondary food. The primary food is actually the food for your soul.
Really?
Right.
Interesting.
The secondary food is the food you put in your mouth. Huh. So if you are stressed, if you're living in a relationship that is not of any value for you, and you don't get any growth out of it, and it's just doing the opposite for you, well, your primary nutrition is not up to snuff. Something has to give for you to be healthy, right?
And so you have to change your lifestyle so that you feed your soul. I love that. Soul food is a fairly common expression, actually. Then there's something behind it.
Yeah, it's also then spiritual food, right?
Okay.
What kind of, how is your socialized life? Look, or how does it look like? Mm-hmm. What kind of influences do you have in life? Are they positive influences, negative influences? What can you let go? Right.
And these are all factors for, I guess it's a holistic approach to well-being and health.
Very much so.
Yeah, way beyond just the piece of toast that you might have for breakfast in the morning.
I can't remember the last time I had one.
It's been quite a while for me too. Listen, Gujula, we were talking about nutritionally dense food, but you are informationally dense in terms of the information that you're giving us. So we're going to take a little musical break here and come back in a minute just so that we can give our minds a little rest. And we'll be back in a second with some more health and food information with Gujula Bauer. Back to our conversation with Gujula Bauer. Gujula, thanks for coming into the studio today and sharing your immense wealth of information and experience in healthy eating.
You're very
I'm
welcome.
Making you blush, I know, but it's not an overstatement. I mean, every time I go to your table at the farmer's market, I see something new that you're experimenting with, like sauerkraut crackers, for example. You know, where does this creativity come from? I mean, you're just...
Often they are accidents. Like sometimes I have simply leftovers and I hate to throw produce out. So, well, to make a cracker, what do you need? You need a little bit of something like a seed base, and then you put some flaxseed in it to make it stick, and then you dehydrate it. So, well, I had sauerkraut left and it was a little softer than the way I like to eat it when it's a little crunchier. So I thought, why not? So I put it in the food processor, put a couple of spices in,
It's fantastic. It has a really nice little tangy sizzle almost on your tongue when you bite one of these. And if you add a little bit of chèvre or something to it, it's like a gourmet snack.
Mm, thank you.
It's true. So anyway, getting back to this, you used the phrase during that kind of music that I heard you use several times during your speaker series presentation at the Arbor Gallery the other night, April 11th, I think it was, and that was upgrade.
Yes.
Upgrade, which is a really easy concept for us to sort of grasp, and it makes it bite-sized chunks of improvements or changes rather than I'm going to revolutionize my life, I'm going to change everything that I normally eat. Just do one tiny upgrade at a time, you said, and it makes it sort of easier to
You know,
grasp.
It's all about forming new little habits. And if I give you a whole big plan to do, you're going to walk out the door, shake your head and walk away because it's just too overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, yes.
So I kind of think that little upgrades are the best. So I think at the Harbour Gallery, I pointed out, if the one thing you do is make a smoothie mm-hmm. in the morning, 50% greens and then one fruit and the rest vegetables and a little bit of seeds, that's it. Perfect. You have at least 4 or 5 servings of your vegetables and fruit in you, and you know you're already ahead.
Yes.
You know,
before you start the day, before you go out the door, you've already had
and a taste, and you're probably not going to be hungry for 3-4 hours.
Yes.
So, you know, so it's an automatic weight loss too. So it's a win-win.
Yes, yes.
In that regard.
And you call that an upgrade. And it really is, you know, like rather than having, you know, a bagel and cream cheese and a cup of coffee for breakfast, which is going to make you hungry by about 10 or 10:30 from my experience, because, you know, any bread product just sends your blood sugar levels through the roof and triggers, you know, this craving to have some more sugar or more grains. It is an upgrade. It's an upgrade on many, many levels, but it's also very, very simple to do. And do people need special equipment to do any of this
stuff?
Well,
you need a blender. A better blender or a high-speed blender would be nice because then the substance you're drinking is kind of smooth.
Yes.
You know, if you have lumps in it, you know, you might not want to do it too often, but if it's nice and smooth, you're actually going to continue drinking it.
Yeah, I have personal experience in this regard because I bought myself a Nutribullet, I guess, a year ago, and my kids have been borrowing it, and actually, I ended up giving it to my son who came to visit at Easter. I said, Sebastian, this is a really good thing for you to do in the morning is make yourself a smoothie. So I gave him my whole kit. So I've been using my food processor.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I don't mind having lumpy smoothies for breakfast. I kind of like to chew on my breakfast for a while.
Well, and that is actually quite important to chew. Like even if you have a smoothie, you should still continue to do some chewing motions.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's probably good for us to keep on.
If I may to come back, an upgrade can be as little as eating an apple. Some people don't eat fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Just one apple is already an upgrade. So don't put any stresses on it. You know, it doesn't have to be right away a smoothie. It can be an apple.
Set a small goal, like one apple a day.
Yeah. Or just vary the fruit. Don't stick with one. Just experiment with it.
Yes.
Have fun with it.
Yes. I noticed that fruit is getting a bad reputation because it's so high in sugar and fructose that, you know, I've heard some experts say be really careful not to add too much fruit to your diet because it's got so much sugar in it. And that's sort of counterintuitive. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, you know, it's like if you skip all the other sugars, I don't mind the fruit sugars, you know. If your goal is drastic weight loss, yes, you want to skip the fruits as well during that time. But if that is a healthy choice, is a different one. It's not. It depends on what you're after, what your perspective is, your intention is in something.
And I'm sure it must be balanced. I mean, you're getting all the fiber of the fruit.
Yes.
I mean, if you eat it, if you get it from eating a fruit, it's not the same as even fruit drinks are pretty concentrated sugars, right? But if you're eating the actual fruit, it has to be fairly well balanced, I suppose.
Yeah, in a way, that's true. But there are, like, that might not be true for everyone, right? Mm. Everyone has a different metabolism. Like, for example, myself, I have issues with starches. So for the longest times, I couldn't even touch a banana. Mm. So it was a big no-no. But so everyone is an individual, and that's another thing to stretch. When it comes to diet, there is no one fit for all diet. This is something where the person has to become very intuitive and listening to their own body, and not just because someone says this is supposed to work.
Yes.
No, it's about you figuring out what works for you.
Yes.
And then listen to that.
You just reminded me, Gudula, that I actually wanted to start this interview today. Asking you about your personal story and what brought you to this point. I mean, you're very deeply immersed in all of these issues, and you obviously have quite a bit of formal training as well.
Yes.
But you have a personal story about a path that you went down.
Oh,
that,
okay. Okay, I do the short version.
Okay.
Like, I was trained as a Heilkunst practitioner. I graduated in 2004.
And what is Heilkunst?
Heilkunst is the complete medical system Dr. Hahnemann taught. Like, you only hear about homeopathy.
Yes.
But Hahnemann taught Heilkunst, which is regimen, which is all your nutritional parts already in it, your hydration, Dormition and Coition, and then you have the medical part, the homeopathy in there, and then you have therapeutic education.
Okay.
So it's like, it's a 4-year diploma course. And but the main focus is like, usually it's just the homeopathic part, and because the rest is not being focused on so much, mainly also by the client. And for myself, when I started to switch, it was because I became very sick after overwork, tremendous overwork. Mm. Like, I had to take care of my husband. He was very sick after an accident, and I didn't take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended
fairly common situation, I think. There are many people.
And I think
in that.
My wake-up moment was when I ended up in a hospital, and they did not know what was wrong until they took a blood test and found that I have very, very low iron level. And then they talked blood transfusions, and I'm like, that, okay, I'm done. I'm going home.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I knew what was wrong.
Hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And then I went on a quest, okay, how do I get the nutrients in to me the fastest way? I couldn't swallow pills because I just simply couldn't get them down. So then I watched a I came home. My husband was watching TV and he saw David Wolf with Nutribullet.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah, make advertisement. There we go.
Yes. Superfood.
Superfood. And he said, that's what I need. That's how I'm going to get it in. And so I got myself the Nutribullet.
So that was your upgrade.
That was my upgrade. And what I did, I took the Nutribullet, put my vegetables and my fruit in there, and you get recipes with it, so that was a plus.
Yes.
And then I added all my supplements in it. And that was what saved me. Within half a year, I had, without taking any special pills or whatever, I had my iron levels where I needed to be, and I had energies to spare. And all the little symptoms I had before just disappeared.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh. So a little light.
You knew you were on the right path.
Yes. The other thing that needed to be done during that path was that I had to avoid certain foods because they were depleting my iron levels, and or inhibiting the uptake, like dairy, like egg, even for a time, and grains.
Yes.
So after, I think, 3 months, I started taking them back in. I couldn't take back in the grains. I got immediately stomach issues with it. The dairy, I could only eat in hard cheeses, and the rest would upset my stomach. And eggs, I was fine. So I have still two things I have issues with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why the whole thing with a grain-free diet kind of got developed. But there's still other kind of starches out there I'm taking in. So it's not that I'm imbalanced eating.
No. Really interesting, though, I find it, Gujula, because you went through this after having had the training of all the advanced training that you had.
Yes.
You know, so it's kind of, in a way, I guess it's a reminder to us normal citizens that haven't had that kind of training that it's okay if we don't... realize right away that we need to maybe address our food intake and the kinds of food that even somebody as trained as you were, it took a personal crisis almost to make you realize that you had to pay attention to the food that you're eating.
If you go a step further, though, it was also that I did not take care of myself in a mental emotional state then, because I was taking care of my husband and not of myself,
yes.
And that acknowledgement, when you are in the caregiver position, you often lose your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of giving up on it because you're taking over someone else's.
Yes.
And that is all what the picture of iron is all about, your willpower, you know.
Yes.
Like, and that gets diminished
in
a situation like that, and I needed to rebuild that.
Very interesting. I've heard several references to this. I mean, it's fairly common in our generation right now, the boomers especially. We have parents that are needing a lot of extra care, and our kids are still around and need a lot of support too, you know. So we're sort of the sandwich generation that is getting demands on us from both sides.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's very, very easy to get into a sort of net depletion mode, right, where you're not caring for enough for yourself. And the metaphor that comes up very, very often in this situation is the one in the airplane where the flight attendant is making the point, when the little oxygen mask drops from the ceiling, make sure you put it on yourself before you put it on your children or the person that you're taking care of, because if you drop dead for a lack of oxygen, you're not going to be any good to anybody.
Absolutely. And I needed to learn that in the hard way. And the other thing I learned from that experience was that the food had a distinct important place in my life. And that's when I became really activated in seeing where food is needed within my body.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you really revolutionized your relationship to food.
Yes.
In major way, right? But in a positive way too. I mean, when you talk about it now, you're not, it's all positive, sort of vibes that you give off about it. It's not, you're not intimidated by it and you're not overwhelmed by it. You have sort of mastered it and you're sharing a lot of the experiences and even experimentation and stuff that you're doing, you know?
Yes. Why not?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the only thing we more or less can give to other people and to our kids, the knowledge.
It's true. So, Gujula, we're going to wrap up now. Yep. And I just want to ask you, what's the best way for people to access you and your knowledge if they're interested in making a change in their life, even one small upgrade, and they want to talk to you about it? I know, for example, you were saying they can go down to the farmer's market between 9 and 1 o'clock.
Yes, that is one way to get in touch with me. Or you can go to my website. That's www.gujulabauer.com. And you will find out, I have recipes on there. That's a good one. I have all the listings of my workshops. I teach hands-on workshops for fermenting, dehydrating, sprouting, and smoothies, and food storage,
and they are packed. As having experienced one of your workshops, I have to say, they are packed full of information. Every minute is got some more information coming at you. And you leave with a booklet, just in case you weren't paying attention.
No.
And with recipes and how-to items and stuff. So they're really, really packed with a lot of information. I was quite exhausted by the end of that workshop.
Good. The other way you can get in touch with me is on Facebook. And that would be, I have two sites. One is GB Health Coaching. And the other one is Food Activated. The Food Activated, I just will keep you informed what I'm bringing to the market.
Yes, okay.
And maybe pictures before. And the other one is I post a lot of different type of recipes or very interesting things regarding to upgrading your health.
Okay, so give us those names again for the Facebook pages.
That is GB.
For Gujula Bauer, GB.
Health Coaching.
Health Coaching, okay.
And the other one is Food Activated.
Food Activated.
Yeah.
So there's two good spots to go in.
But come visit me at the farmer's market. There's lots of people there and lots to share. And you can taste test anything.
Always best to do a face-to-face conversation and meet people that way.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Gujula, for coming in. I know we've just scratched the surface with all of the experiences and information that you've been gathering about food health, but we really appreciate you coming in, and I think you've whetted our appetites.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure, and I'm sure we'll have to do an ongoing series here. We'll get you back
we
in.
We pick topics.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Thanks again, Gujula. It was really great to have you.